This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's go!
What's going on, people? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Luke here, and for this special episode, a couple of our hosts were beyond hype to sit and talk with one of the main characters of our podcast's collective favorite TV show. I'm speaking, of course, about Olivia Taylor-Dudley, who plays my girl, Alice Quinn, in Syfy's The Magicians. Words can't describe how awesome this was, and Olivia was amazing. And so with that being said, let's just get right into it.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Sorry for the screw up here.
No, it's all good. Actually, I mean, I'm sorry. You guys have been waiting. It works out better for me to do it now anyway, so it's great.
Yeah, we're happy
that you were willing to give up your Friday nights for us.
I'm in quarantine right now in Canada, so I'm doing nothing. So
are
it's
you
perfect.
On the Eastern time?
No, I'm in Vancouver, so I'm on the West.
There you go.
Oh,
that
okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Where are you guys?
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Anyway, this is like the sixth person we've talked to who is in Vancouver. I feel like
I know.
Every TV actor we talk to is in Vancouver.
It's where we live, pretty much. I mean, it's where we shot Magician, so I'm used to being here.
Yeah, I love the long hair, by the way.
Oh, thanks. It's not. It's about this long. There's a couple extensions put in. Mm. It's where I want it to be, but thank you.
You got it.
So, Olivia, again, thank you so much for joining us here.
I haven't talked about Magicians in over a year, so we'll see. I'm not warmed up.
So Netflix dropped the fifth season in January, I think, right? It's collectively our podcast favorite show, probably,
yeah.
Next to Game of Thrones. Like, those two are always the top two. So it timed really well that when it dropped in January, we just decided to recover the whole final season just because we are the most passionate about the show.
Like, yeah, I love it. Awesome.
How we like to start our podcast is just giving you a little rapid fire and test what things you liked specifically about The Magicians. So if you're ready, I'll give you 5 or 6 questions here and you can just take them how you want.
Sure.
So who is your favorite non-Alice character?
Elliot.
Great answer.
Isn't that everybody?
Yeah,
right. That or Margo?
Yeah, I would say Margo's mine. But we actually did so after we did the whole fifth season rewatch, we did like a Peaches and Plums episode at the end where we talked about like the entire series and we all kind of answered these questions, and it was Elliot. It was definitely the most popular answer.
Always. Speaking of that episode, I want to ask, I'm really starting off hot. Okay. Cause this was like our biggest point of contention on the entire podcast for the entire Magicians is we did kind of like a, who's would win in a fight type thing. And it was Alice versus Fogg, and it almost broke up our podcast. I would say.
Really?
I think actually it was Alice versus,
it was Zelda.
Zelda. That was the biggest one.
Yeah. I was on Team Alice, don't worry.
So look, I think I'm on Team Alice for anybody. I think I would kick anyone's ass. So
there you go. I think Team Alice officially just won the argument.
1,000%.
That's canon.
As a representative of Team Alice, I think you would win.
Just with the one hand at the end. Yeah. That's all she needs.
Exactly.
So to piggyback off the first question, if you could play another character besides Alice, who would you have picked?
Gosh darn it. I mean, Elliot. Elliot is my favorite character. But
that
I mean,
been interesting.
Yeah. You know, I originally talked to him about playing Julia, and I was just like, I don't connect with this as much. And so I've thought about playing Julia, but it's just not the same. I think that or Quentin. Actually, I would love to have taken a shot at Quentin.
And Jason could have been Alice. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Could have been a great Alice.
All very complicated characters.
Yeah, for sure.
None of them are a bad choice. Everyone on The Magicians has, some flaws.
I would be any one of the characters.
Yeah. You'd be any one of them.
Even Todd.
Kyle would be Todd.
Todd's great. Actually,
Kyle loves Todd.
I would be Todd, to be honest. Todd lives the good life.
He does.
He really does.
So what was your favorite season or specific episode, either one?
Season one is always my favorite season. Even just from my perspective as an actor filming it, it had the most like mystery. We didn't know what it was going to be. So it was really fun. And I just love how innocent all the characters are in season one. Actually, season two, Niff and Alice is my absolute favorite because I got to torture Jason the whole time. But as a whole, I love season one.
Amazing. I have a couple Niffin questions for you later, but moving on with the rapid fire, what was your most memorable scene to film of the show?
I mean, honestly, Quentin's death scene was pretty memorable. It was a really long. I mean, I don't know. This is rapid fire, so I'm not supposed to go into.
Please go into.
Yeah, we say it's rapid fire, but we like when it just goes off.
It was a really intense couple of days of filming. Technically, it was because we were filming on a phantom camera, which films really super slow motion, which is why it looks so slow. But it takes a really long time to film on that camera. So I had to cry and pull up those emotions several days in a row for 12 hours a day. So that gets pretty grueling on your system. And also, it was pretty heartbroken that Jason wasn't going to be on the show anymore. I mean, I think we assumed he wasn't going to be on the show. They hadn't figured it out yet because everything's a cliffhanger on our show. So we never know. And no one's really dead, but it was a pretty exhausting few days. So yeah, that scene.
I'll definitely say that I am never really physically emotional about anything, but that campfire scene when Alice starts up I think it might be Katie actually that starts up the take on me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, that kills me every single time I watch it. It brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
It actually
was. Brutal.
The song came on at work, I think like 2 days ago, and the women in the office were like, oh, I love this song. And I was kind of just sitting in my cubicle, like shedding a little tear. I was like, turn it on.
Even the fast version just messed
you up. Yeah, no,
I can't hear it without getting sad either.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally changed it for us.
I mean, it's me and six boys on this podcast, and every time we talk about that specific scene, everyone's like, I've never cried so much in a TV show.
No.
He talks about crying. Kyle talks about crying in his kitchen.
Yeah, I watched it. I mean, I just remember it was like really late, like 2 a.m., just complete darkness in my house and my dining room table, and just Quentin died. And I was just like, no, just crying like alone in the darkness. I was like, this is just, it was amazing how it happened. Like, it's great that the show like got that emotion out of me because, you know, you connect so much with the characters over the journey. But obviously, it's just very sad. It's great. It's a compliment to the show and the writers. But for me, as my personal emotions and my mental health.
I feel like everybody did so good in that scene because we were all, I mean, especially Jason. I mean, it's confusing shows, you know, they don't tell us everything. So we didn't know that was going to happen until like a week before we shot that scene and any of that stuff. But like, you know, Jason's shedding real tears. We all are because we're potentially not going to get to see one of our dear friends every day at work. You know what I mean? Like it's, I think that's why it works on the show so well. Cause after several, 4 years of being together, we were all equally heartbroken as I think the audience was. So it's effective.
Yeah. I listen every time I want to get my feels, I listen to Cruel World, which is the actual scene. Like, come on.
It's like personal pleasure.
I mean, to commend you, that was incredible on everybody. Penny pulling you out and your face is intense. And devastating.
Brutal. Yeah. I did some really good hair acting that day. Like, a lot of takes for my hair and the slow motion is just like, whoosh, and it's like super dramatic. I was pretty proud of that.
It's a gorgeous scene. Gorgeous.
That's beautiful.
All right. So a couple more here. The next one I have is, who is your favorite villain of the series?
Niff and Alice can count.
I mean, she is my favorite villain, but see, I have a different perspective. I don't think of any of Alice's other sides as villains because I have to love them all. So, I mean, Niff and Alice is my favorite villain, I guess.
Yeah.
I was a big Martin Chatwin guy. Everybody knows that about me.
Yeah. Martin Chatwin. I loved that. I loved all of that.
I always say this, I'm a broken record, but I'm loyal to a fault. So Niff and Alice is like dope to me. I'm like, that's not a villain. That's just like,
thank you.
Yeah, of course. So fucking cool. I mean, you got to play a bunch of different
a million different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to bring it up?
Yeah, do it. You might as well.
Go ahead.
Wait, saying the
Cassandra.
Yeah. A little early to jump into this, but okay. I absolutely wanted to ask you a little bit about the character of Cassandra.
Sure. We'll see if I have any answers.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say. I need you to lie to me if you don't have the answers, because I need some sort of show canon ending for what the plan was with Cassandra. Because obviously when you filmed those scenes, I think it was in season 4 originally.
Yeah.
And she gets mentioned at the end in season 5 where Penny's talking about the underworld, or Martin actually was talking about how he found Cassandra in the underworld. Was there ever a plan, and did it change when you found out the show was closing, or like what did they tell you about Cassandra?
I mean, they didn't tell us a lot while filming the show. Sarah Gamble and John McNamara are amazing, and they're really good at keeping things hidden from us in an effective way for us, because I think if we know too much too soon, we might, as actors, we want to know everything that's going to happen so that we can play it ahead of time and like build it, and they give us some of that, but some things are better left unsaid and just like to read it a week before we have to shoot it. Cassandra was one of those. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know I was playing her until right before we were shooting it. And I still don't know anything about Cassandra. Yeah. So no. No, from what I know from Sarah, that she had a plan for that. And it was a very important part of the story if it continued. And since it didn't continue, I have no idea. I need to ask her actually, because I feel like it's been long enough. She can tell me, but I know that was definitely a big part of if we were going to have a season 6.
That is a good enough answer for me that they had a plan, because that was one of the things that bothered me most about the ending, was wanting to know where that was going to go, because that seemed like
me
very ending
too.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could give you more. I you know.
It was enough for me that Martin, we knew was the end by the time that finale aired. So it was enough for me that they at least threw that line in there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes these boys are tough critics.
He's a tough critic.
You know, for us, we didn't know it was the finale when we shot it. We didn't know till after we were done shooting the season. So for us, it was just kind of like, well, maybe we're coming back. We don't know. We never know. You know, when you're on cable, you never know. So yeah, there was a lot of loose ends that we were like, are we ever going to find out? But yeah.
I would say most of them wrapped up very nicely. Oh, the ones that stick out are just Penny 40 in the underworld and all that stuff. But for the most part, I was pretty satisfied with it all. And I'm happy that there was originally a Cassandra plan, because I thought
there was. Just trust me. A lot of people always ask that. And Sarah's always like, yes, there is. Don't worry. She doesn't do anything for, there's always a reason with her, even if it takes 6 seasons to do it. That's like her favorite thing to do. So.
I was going to say, like, Quentin giving his blood away.
Oh, yeah. That one bothers me, too. Do you remember that one where Quentin, I think that was the first scene of season 2.
Yeah.
Because the end of season 1 ends with just in the middle of the climax with Martin messing all the friends up.
But
and
you
then
save
season
everybody.
2, yeah, is Quentin giving away the blood. And we never really heard about that again.
Yeah. A lot of people ask about that. I got no answers.
But wait, before you hop in, for season 5, when you're filming it, what was the vibe? Like, did you think... Were you confident or less than confident that you were going to get a season 6? Because I really thought we were getting a season 6. I haven't, but what the fuck do I know? I don't know anything. But I was shocked. I remember I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw magicians post an Instagram that was like, thank you for the magic. And I was like, I'm going to die. So like, what are you always kind of thinking you're on the chopping block, or... What's
I mean, like? Honestly, any show feels that way. Mm. I mean, as actors, we never know if we're going to work again. And that's like always how it feels, even when you're working, especially when you're working, oddly enough. You're like, this rug is going to get pulled out from under us at any minute. And every single season, we never knew if we were coming back. So they did a really good job of doing cliffhangers, but wrapping things up so that it was really important to John and Sarah that the audience and the fans would feel satisfied, even if it ended on season 2, you know? So, but when we were going into season 5, I think we all knew to get a season 6 is a really big deal for a show. It changes things financially. It's a whole different thing. And so we knew it was a bigger leap. So I think all of us kind of knew in the back of our minds that there was a chance we weren't going to come back. So it did have kind of like this like last day at camp. I've never been to camp. Actually, I don't know what that's like. But like it felt like your senior year of high school. I didn't go to high school. And I don't know that either. I don't know. Whenever like you're around a lot of people and you don't want to leave them, it definitely felt like that the whole last season. Mm-hmm. So I think they all knew intuitively that it was coming. But even till the last day, they were like, nope, number one show, might come back. So you just never know. But we were all very, very heartbroken when it ended, but kind of expected it.
Well, congrats on 5 banger seasons.
Mm. Thanks. That's a pretty cool thing, I think.
Right?
I'm proud of it. Yeah.
The coolest.
I will say, though, that as a fan that actually I read the source material. So I read Lev's first 3 books, I think probably after I got addicted to the show around season 2. So like in between season 2 and 3, I just killed all that. And then I was very surprised at how off book it went, especially with Quentin.
I thought you were going to say Alice.
Well, Alice as well. Like, yeah. And just to point out the obvious difference between you and the Alice in the books is she's this tiny little brunette. And then there's who we get on screen. I just completely relate them as 2 different characters. Did you read the books or did you know much about the source material and did you pull from that character?
Yeah. I mean, I read the books once I got the script. When they sent me the pilot script, I was like, I just saw the word magicians in my email and I was like, oh, magic? I'll read this. And I read it and I loved it. And then I immediately read all 3 books while I was in the process of the casting process. So I fell in love with the source material. And when I read it, I knew, even though like the way they described Alice, the way she looked, mm-hmm. wasn't necessarily what I looked like. It didn't stop me. I was like, oh no, but I understand who she is at her mm-hmm. core. And when I first read for Alice, I had long hair. I'm a very goth dressing kind of girl. I literally looked like what they described, except for not being brunette. Mm-hmm. So I assumed if I got cast, we're going to dye my hair dark or black or whatever. And it's like a done deal. And they were like, no, we're going to dye it blonde or we're going to keep it blonde and chop it short. And I was like, wait, what? But like, I never, I pulled everything from the books personally. I mean, like, I don't know. Some people say that it seems very different than the books, but I think what my interpretation of the books is exactly what I did with Alice. Not everything in the books obviously is on the show because you just can't do that. Like it's mm-hmm. impossible. It'd be such a boring show because it's like an inner monologue of Quentin Coldwater, who's like the most depressing little dweeb. Like it really wouldn't last 5 seasons. So, you know, a lot of us really always pulled from the source material, even until the 5th season. Like I know Jason and I were always had our book on set and we were always just reading passages just to kind of get in the mindset of wherever Lev's heart was at when he was writing it. Even if the scenes weren't the same, we're like, okay, but what is this from? If they pull from the books, even if it's not the same scene, it has tonally, this is from something, let's find it. So like as a cast, we were always trying to stay true to that because we love the books. Everybody, all of us love the books on the show.
I love that. That's awesome.
You have like Alice's story, like the comic book, like in your house?
No, it's funny. I don't have it. I asked Lev to get me one at Comic-Con last year. And then we never were able to find each other because it's hard to do a Comic-Con. And we never found, I was like, give me one. And I want you to sign it. And I never got it, but I've signed a million of them. Like people, they send them to me to sign and I'm like always reading through it, but I've still never finished it.
We'll send you one. It's amazing.
Yeah. Love the artwork. It looks so cool. Mm-hmm.
I think that's just an interesting take that you had where you said you and Jason specifically were into the books and kept the books on set because we had talked to Rick Worthy. And he was like, I just made up Fog in my head. Like,
yeah.
I created my own Fog and put him on the screen. That's just an interesting.
Well, I feel like
they both worked. It was just interesting styles.
Well, there's different. I mean, like Alice and Quentin and Julia as like the main characters in the books have the most material to pull from. Like there's a ton of there's a ton for me to pull from in the books. Whereas someone like Fog, there isn't as much, you know, Penny there is, but they went such a different direction with Penny that for Arjun, I believe he didn't really use the books as much and that works better for him. Totally. But like Jade, who plays Katie, I mean, that's like one sentence in the book is Katie.
Right.
Yeah. So like not everybody could use the source material in the same way. Whereas Jason and I had this like well of material that we were like, let's not let this go to waste. And it really served us. I think it really helped, especially in the first like 2 seasons when we were more on track with the books to really keep the tone. Yeah. Oh, I miss it.
So do we. I was gonna say it's interesting because I read all the books after the show. I read the comics after the show and then I read Alice's story after the show. So you were who I was reading into the books. Like it wasn't the opposite way. I was like, you are the books to me. Mm-hmm. But the thing is in the books, you spoiler alert, you die and then you're not in for a while. So I'm glad that didn't happen. I mean, of course you were gone between Niffin and first season Alice, you were gone for a little bit, but I'm glad that they didn't do that. And
I was terrified about that.
Yeah.
I knew that was something that was coming if we got enough season, you know, like if we got to that point in the story and had a conversation with John and Sarah and they were like, we are not going to kill you off and have you be off the show. We're going to find a way to keep you on. And I was like, okay, thank God. Cause I was, I signed on knowing that there would be potentially like a big gap without Alice, but I think what they did was really cool.
Definitely as an audience member, it gets a little shaky at where you'll put Alice on the favorite list when she is Niffin Alice, because by design, of course, she's supposed to be evil and messing with Quentin all the time. Were you constantly mad at her decision-making and how she treated characters, specifically Quentin, while you were filming that, or was it just fun for you?
It's so funny to me how many people like loved Alice in the beginning and now hate Alice after she became Niffin, like, or like after the keys incident. Yeah. I mean, like people really turned on me and I was in on me personally, which is always so fascinating, but I never judge Alice because I mean, at least how I work with characters is I have to have a complete understanding for them and empathy for them, no matter what they're doing, or else I don't think you can play them right if you're judging them. So I never judged Niffin Alice. I thought, you know, I just always looked at it as a woman who was forced into a situation she didn't want to be in and was traumatized and trying to survive, which if I think about Niffin Alice and Alice in that way, I can relate to that and understand that. So she was just trying to do her best. And even though she, you know, did horrible things, I don't necessarily blame, I don't blame Alice for that. I think it was circumstances and, you know, I don't know. I will always defend Alice as Niffin Alice and all of her bad decisions. I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Reminds me a little bit of a question that I had for you, going like a little bit off of what Kathleen had just said, but like one of the things that we love about the show is that we feel like you guys pretty much became the characters. Like Kathleen said that she was reading the books and you were Alice to her. You became the character so well. It's so real. It feels so real when you guys are on the screen. And I was just curious. So through season one to season five, Alice goes on an insane journey. She has an absolute roller coaster. And I'm just curious of what that journey taught you about yourself playing her, you know, as both a person and an actor.
I mean, there's like 20 versions of Alice. On the show. Once John and Sarah realized how much I loved playing different versions of her, they were like, how many can we do? I think that's Cassandra's definitely a product of that. I don't know. I learned a lot from Alice. You know, I think Alice is much more intelligent than I am. And so I respect that. And she made me want to be smarter. I know that that sounds dumb, but she made me, I read more books now. Like I don't know. I wanted to be more like Alice on that level. And also I think her bravery and and how she's managed to, even though through all the shit that she's been through and everyone turning on her, she still wants to be a good friend. And that's her goal in the end. Like in the beginning, she could care less about these people and doesn't want friends, wants to keep everyone out of her life. And that's what I related to her in the beginning, because I have a lot of social anxiety and I don't have a lot of friends and I'm very much a hermit and keep to myself. And that's why I was like, oh, when I read her in the books, I was like, oh, easy. I understand this woman. I can really get to her. But then as the seasons grow, she's forced to become friends with everybody. And then that becomes her whole life. And she realizes how valuable friendship is. Like that's what the show really is. And that's something that I took away from it, where I'm like, okay, life is, it's important to keep those friendships and to work really hard at them and to trust people and to keep your heart open to everybody. I don't know. I know it sounds cheesy, but those are kind of like the notes of things that I got from her.
That was just an amazing answer. That was, I wrote that question and was like, I wonder what she'll say. And I don't even think I could have imagined it was going to be that good. So that was great.
Well, speaking of that, friendship in season five, I feel like Quentin leaving really opened the doors for a bunch of great pairings in season five, and specifically just feeling like the whole squad was together all the time and finally friends. Everyone was at odds the entire series. Like someone was fucking something up at all times. But season five, everyone's like, all right, there's an apocalypse. We got to hang out and figure this out. You know what I mean? So specifically, who is your favorite in season five to work with? And I feel like it's going to be Hale. But I do want to say specifically season five, episode three with you and Hale and finally getting that closure with Quentin at the well is just one of my favorite scenes of the entire series. And we were like getting a little emotional podcasting about it. I mean, the mosaic is one of everyone's favorite things. So kind of you guys finally talking about it and acknowledging both of your love for Quentin and how they're both legitimate. And how was that? How was that shooting?
You know, That actually might be one of my favorite scenes that we shot on the show. It was something that Hale and I asked for if we got another season, because I was like, I mean, like, I think that John and Sarah were obviously going to do it anyway, but it was really important to us that I had that, especially myself. Like, speaking personally, I got a lot of hate after season 4. I'm not good at episodes and seasons like you guys are. I don't know. It's all a big blur to me, but like, everybody turned on me once Hale entered the picture with Quentin, and nobody wanted Alice around. And I was so hurt because I was like, I don't understand why everyone hates Alice so much. Like, why can't the love they had is very real. Just like the love with him and Elliot is very real. And I don't understand that, why everyone, but I get it. It's a fandom and people pick sides and all that kind of stuff. So when we were like, can we please have a scene where Elliot and Alice can finally come clean and talk about this. And then when they wrote it and we were reading it, we were just like bawling while reading the pages, the script. And I was like, oh no, this is gonna wreck people. And so Hale and I spent a lot of time rehearsing it and figuring out exactly how we wanted to do it and why we were doing it. Because Hale and I we're like best friends. So we spent a lot of time together while filming, like working on material in between. And so when we got there on the day, we told them we wanted a lot of time to shoot it. And so they accommodated that. So we had a whole day to shoot that scene, which is not normal for television. And it was like just one of the most beautiful days ever. And they gave us so much space and real tears were shed. And there's so much that's not even in the show in that scene that we filmed. And, you know, it's a subject matter, and it's something I think a lot of us can relate to. And I know Hale and I had very real experiences in our lives that were very similar to this situation. So I felt like it was such a cathartic experience as an actor to film that scene. And I think it turned out so beautiful. And I hope that the fans had understanding mm-hmm. for all parties involved, because that's what we wanted the takeaway to be.
Well, listen, that it came through completely. I mean, that scene means a lot to me personally. And I thought it was incredible. I mean, that's the scene I watched right before we came on to like get myself ready for this, because I was like, it's my favorite scene in the series, probably. So, I mean, it's just incredible acting.
It's so important to have the representation of all different kinds of love and relationships. And the show has always had that. So I always thought when people, I know this is just not my personal beef with the fandom, when they turned on Alice and all became about Peaches and Plums, is like, yeah, but Alice and Quentin still loved each other. It was very real in their timeline. And he also fucked Alice over a million times. Yes. So why are we always so mad at Alice? That was the thing that always upset me on the show. I was like, why is everyone so mad at Alice? This poor chick's just trying her best. But that kind of gave me closure with that, because I feel like Alice would understand it and be fine with it and open mm-hmm. about it and loving about it. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope I'm not talking too much.
No.
Podcast. All right, it's fine.
I want to give you some reassurance, though, Olivia, because at the end of the season, when we talked about, we did our Peaches and Plums wrap up of the series, I 1000% had you in my top two favorite characters. So don't be worried about my favorite.
And I will say that on my rewatch, one of the things that really stuck out to me was Alice and Quentin's relationship. Obviously, it's a big centerpiece of the plot and a lot of things happen, but just the way I felt about it, I think the second time around was just like, wow. Like, I obviously, it's very, maybe not toxic, you know, it is toxic. It's, you know, a lot of mistakes were made on both sides, but I feel like it was like, I identified with it a lot more on the second go around. And I feel like I was a lot, not that I was mean to you the first time, but I felt like I was a lot gentler to both parties throughout the process the second time that I watched it.
Well, I mean, it's easier to like be excited about the Elliot and Quentin relationship because it's fun and exciting. And when it happened, it's like, oh, this is what the fans wanted in the books. Like, this is what was being hinted at in the books. And Alice and Quentin, that's old news. Like, that's, we know that that's in the book. So I think everyone was just excited that it happened. And
yeah,
for Alice.
One of my favorite scenes in the show is the touch butch scene with you and Quentin.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah, in the physical kids cottage at the bottom.
Oh, good.
You have no idea how many times we've brought that up.
Yeah.
Really? I forgot about that.
It's so good, especially because it's finally like you guys are kind of being mature. Like the relationship is coming around. It feels like there's a solid foundation here. Like we're going to do it. Like guys, we're getting it. And then Quentin dies in the next like 20 minutes. And it was so heartbreaking. The second time watching it through, I almost like had to, like, I mean, I can't skip the scene because I love the scene, but I just almost didn't want to watch you guys laughing together in that way. Cause I knew it was just going to hurt me later on.
Yeah.
Just to wrap it up. I mean, I did not expect you two to have that scene. And after watching it, just the representation of those two loves existing and both being legitimate and exciting. I don't get the Alice hate either. It just meant so much to me. And I was like, this is the best ever. Yeah. So
you guys can hate Alice. I want to talk about it if you do. It's totally fine.
I'm unfortunately, we're all Alice stans.
Yeah. So. Especially Luke over here. Yeah, he's the biggest Alice.
I love Alice. I ride for Alice. Don't worry. Whenever we're on a podcast, I'm still fighting for you behind the scenes. So
thank you. Thank you.
All right. But I did have another question, though, because you brought up when you were reflecting on Alice as a character and how it affected your personality or how it affected you as a person outside the show. I like to always compare Alice to Hermione Granger. Have you read or watched the Harry Potter movies? Read them either?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay. Just I saw how excited you got when she said magical.
I'm not an expert at Harry Potter, but yes, of course. I'm not gonna open myself up to that right now because don't ask me Harry Potter facts or I'll
it's
get
it's good thing you said that I have my Harry Potter facts in my
The only reason I brought that up was just because it's so natural to compare Alice Quinn to Hermione Granger just because they are probably the smartest characters within the main scope of the story in their respective books or movies. To me, Alice seems a little bit more flawed, so it's a lot more relatable. And I love both the characters, don't get me wrong, but I just think the Magicians did such a good take on her. And I wanted to know if Hermione or the idea of Hermione and her character was that ever something that you were thinking about as you were playing this character who's so similar yet so different from her?
Yeah, actually, I was inspired a lot by Hermione in the beginning because it's the only character I could quite compare Alice to for obvious reasons, but I mean, her and I are so different energetically, like as humans, as actors, and we look different and the characters are different that no matter what I pulled from her, it was never going to feel like the same character. But yeah, I always thought of them as same, like, cause they're both like really smart badasses. So
love that.
Yeah. I wanted another man.
That
yeah man was perfect.
Can you imagine if I was like, no, I don't like Harry Potter.
I don't like magic.
I was just defending Alice.
Some people on the show don't like magic.
Ooh, call them out.
No.
Oh gosh. Yeah, don't make us start getting upset with some people.
Magic is the best. We had Rick do the Rhineman Ultra. You got any like Foster Romancy? Oh,
Rick loves magic, so
yeah.
You got any Foster Romancy?
He started the
spells?
Podcast by saying, let's do some goddamn magic.
He loves that. He'd say that every morning in the hair and makeup.
His voice is iconic.
Yeah, it is. I don't remember any of the spells, any of the tutting. I'm not good at them.
How was learning that?
Hard as fuck. Really hard.
Two scripts you have to learn. You have to learn the word script and then the physical script. That's insane.
I remember when we first got, before we shot the show, Sarah sent us some videos of people tutting, like people who do it for a living, these dancers. And I was like, what is this? And she's like, this is what you guys are going to be doing on the show where it says hand movements in the script. Cause all it says is hand movements. It looked like somebody was like breaking all their fingers and putting them back together. And I was like, oh no, like I have arthritis. I've got bad hands. Like I'm not dexterous at all. Like, and it proved to be, I'm really bad at it. So like and we had a choreographer who would like choreograph the hand movements, but then if you couldn't do something, you'd modify it. And basically we found out in the beginning of the first season, I could not do any of the complicated. They were so complicated. You guys, you have no idea. I was like, I need simple movements and I'm really good at making simple movements look fancy. So that's kind of Alice's vibe. I was like, less is more because she's so goddamn good at magic.
So powerful.
She's so powerful. And that's like when I created like the nipple twisting thing for Romancy. And they loved that. I was like, twists the nipple, like doing all this crazy stuff, and I was like, I can't do that. We got to
throw some elbows in there, make it look
exactly.
I love the confidence behind that, though. Like, I can't do all that stuff, but I can twist some nipples.
Yeah, That I can do.
So another thing I wanted to bring up, we haven't talked about much yet, is musicals. So what was your favorite musical episode to perform? Because you were in almost all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Under Pressure episode, All That Josh. Mm-hmm. Not the second one, the Margot episode, you were not in, right?
On the desert? No.
I was in it, but not in the musicals.
Yeah, right. That's what we mean. Were really featured in the episode in the season 5 one, which was awesome.
Yeah. In the hotel.
I was in every song, I think.
Yes, that was incredible. Was that something that you discussed beforehand to be more involved, or were they just like, Olivia, you're in, put me in coach?
Well, I was actually the first person to sing on the show. In season 1, I sing to my brother at
It was like
that,
girls just want to have fun or something.
It was like,
oh yeah.
What fucking song was it? It was a very
I don't remember, but I sing it all the time in my head, like in the shower, and I've forgotten it. But I did it a cappella, and John, they were like, wrote this song. And I was like, my biggest fear is singing in front of people. So I was like, oh, no, I can't sing. I'm an actor. I don't sing. That's not what I do. And they're like, you have to sing. And I was like, well, can I pre-record it? And they're like, no, you got to sing it a cappella. So like, I worked on it so hard. And we get there on the day. I'm talking about the first time I ever sang. And I sang, and they were like, no, it sounds too good. You have to make it sound worse. Alice wouldn't sound that good. And I was like, wait, you're going to make me sing on TV and make me have to like sound bad? They're like, yeah, can you sing, like, not perfect, like make it like, not saying I'm a perfect singer, but they're like, can you crack your voice a little and like make it? And so once I did that, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not so bad. Like, I don't have to be perfect. And then John was like, oh, musicals, let's do a lot of those. And I was like, I don't need to do the musicals. I'm good. I already sang. And then, because if you tell John you don't want to do something, you're definitely going to have to do it. So then he started putting me in the musicals, and it is one of the hardest things, like pre-recording the songs and then recording, like filming musicals, is so grueling because you have to do it over and over and over and over and over. So yeah, I kind of try to stay out of the musicals as much as possible because they are a lot of work, and I'm terrified of singing in front of people still. But I think I kind of fell in love with it by season 4. And then in season 5, I said I wouldn't mind having a couple more songs than normal. And he was like, great, you're getting a whole episode. I'm like, oh. But it was really fun. Like, Hale and I had such a good time singing, having our little duet that we did in season 5 in the hotel room was one of my favorite things that we did.
That was really intimate.
Yeah. I just thought it was really a beautiful way to have those two characters. And it's always fun for Hale and I because we sing to each other anyway, so it's good.
It was, won't you come see about me?
Oh, how do we not know that?
I'll be alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you forget about
me. Well,
yeah.
It's got to be good that you're nervous for your first ever singing. They're like, you're too good. Yeah. Like, you're just too good. So you're going to have to mess up a little bit here.
Well, I just, like, I'm not joking. My biggest fears in life is singing in front of people. I don't even sing.
No. I was just about to ask you to sing us a song.
That's not true. Like, sedated?
I've actually just randomly sung a decent amount on the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Out of nowhere. Yeah, you had to sing the Beatles to
yeah, Hey Jude.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I would agree. I don't.
We loved in Sedated when you and Hare were like, bam, bam, ba, bam,
yes.
Bam,
yeah.
Bam, bam. We're obsessed.
We were
with that.
So delirious by the time we started filming that scene, and the choreographer and all of us, it was just like a late night. We were tight in this hallway, and we were like, okay, we got to choreograph this part. Like, that episode was insane to shoot. And we were like, well, what do we do for the bam bam part? And they're like, I don't know, just like do a move. And Hale and I are always dancing. I'll dance in front of everybody. I love dancing like an idiot. So I was like, why don't we do this funny move? And then like, it just stuck. That part's fun.
It's amazing.
I would say my favorite musical episode, I think, would probably be All About Josh.
Yeah.
Because it's truly the first episode where every single main character sings. And what you're saying now, just, it kind of sticks. I'm sure Arjun was feeling the same way because he doesn't really sing much. And in that specific
episode.
He loves
to sing.
Does he
love
really?
That.
Yeah, he does musical theater. He's a great singer. He loves to sing. Yeah,
because his character
just
Penny,
too into his character.
He's in the library freaking out, and he's just not happy.
He's
to
like,
be there.
"Damn it, you're gonna make me sing." Yeah.
It's called acting. No, Arjun loves to sing. Everybody loves to sing, except for I think the only people who don't sing are me, Summer, and Stella are the only ones who aren't like theater kids who do musical theater. Everyone else does musical theater.
Oh, wow. Summer really had to
stop singing.
Yeah,
she's incredible.
Yeah, Jade is fucking incredible. Yes, yes.
But that actually reminds me of another thing, because I know Jason and Trevor are doing a, I don't know if it's a musical, but they're doing a play right now. So did they ask you to be in it? First question.
No, those weenies. No, I know. Well, I don't think I could get to New York anyway, but no, I'm so excited for them. I want to watch it. I think the show's this weekend. I don't know. I got to get tickets.
July 2nd, I believe.
It looks like a great time.
Yeah. It's like a great time. Yeah. I wonder, did they ever send you one of their shirts?
No. And I asked them to, I'm going to text them as soon as we're done.
You can do it right now if you want.
FaceTime them in right now.
What time is it there? No, okay. Yeah, no, I won't.
Speaking of how you said that you were originally thinking you may be Juliet, when you're going through the show, did you ever have it in the back of your mind how Julia's progression is going? Like how maybe you would have played it, or were you always sticking with Alice? Once you decide you're Alice, you stuck with that?
Well, how it happened is they sent me, they wanted me to read for Alice. John and Sarah they were interested in me for the show. For Julia, sorry. They wanted me to play Julia. So I didn't pick to play Julia in the beginning when they were like bringing people in to meet with us. And I auditioned as Julia and they were like, we really want you in the show. And I was like, honestly, I don't think I relate to this character. And they're like, yeah, I don't think so either. Why don't you try Alice? And I was like, oh, good. She was my favorite character in the books. But you know, when you're an actor and you're trying to get a job, you're not going to be like, hey, I don't want this one. I want this one. But the fact that they said that and I was like, yes, thank you. And then the next day I went in and read as Alice and then got it. I was like, okay. And then I never looked back. I never thought about how Julia was played. Like, I think Stella was perfect for that. And I can't imagine anyone playing any other actor playing these characters. I mean, it would be complete.
We can't either.
So. Seriously.
So I'm actually shocked in ourselves that we haven't brought up Summer at all, because I don't know if you know this, but Kathleen is probably Summer's biggest fan on the entire planet.
Really? Summer's awesome.
What was it like watching her? Because I think even when we talked to Rick, he says how she's written in the first season is completely different than for the rest, after the writers realized they had an amazing actress who knew how to just rip one-liners in the best way possible. And her book counterpart isn't even named, you know, Margot, which is Janet, which they of course, you know, bring back a couple times. Nuts, like, how was it seeing that? Because Rick was just praising her.
Yeah, he also said she was very shy in real life. So it's like I think we asked who's the most opposite of the characters.
Yeah, he said she's not like her character.
Summer is some sort of weird mystery of a person. She's so good at playing Margot, and she's so, I don't know if she's completely different than Margot, because she's shy, but there's a side of Summer that is like a weird valley girl. That's not at all who Summer is. And that's where whatever that side of Summer is where I'm assuming she pulled Margot out of. And I don't know. She just is like, so bizarre how she can just pull out her performances the way she does. I don't know. I think she's just magic. I love her. I think she's such a phenomenal actress. I think her comedic timing is amazing. And I got so jealous on the show that I didn't get to, she gets so many good one-liners. I mean, like most of my career I've done comedy and I don't get to do comedy on Magicians. I was like always the straight man. I only had a few dry lines here and there. And I was just like, oh man, I get so jealous of Summer's lines, because they were just like, I wanted to tear them up. I wanted to do them so bad. It looked like so much fun, because she could do whatever. She could be as flamboyant and as crazy as she wanted and just like keep going with it. And I think it actually helped Summer as a person come out of her shell a little bit more.
They should have gave one of your versions of Alice some one-liners to pull out, you know?
Comedic Alice.
Yeah.
Love that.
And speaking of like the one-liners and stuff, did they give you a lot of chances to improv, or when it came to your character, like as it was getting on to the later seasons, were you able to just decide more what you thought Alice would say in certain situations?
No, there wasn't very much improv on the show. It just wasn't set up that way. I mean, just like time-wise, like shooting a TV show, you're going so fast and you're shooting so much in a day. If you take time to do things that are off book, you're eating up too much time in the day. But we would do, you know, we'd get the scripts and we'd read them and we'd be like, oh, well, this doesn't sit right. Or like, I kind of want to change this. And then at the table, we would read it. And then we'd tell them and give them our notes. Whether they change it or not was up to them. But we kind of, after the first season where all the actors wanted to change everything all the time, and they were like, no, we got to script. And then we realized that that's true. It's the only way to efficiently film a TV show. So we didn't do a lot of improv. It's just not that kind of show, since it's not a it is a comedy. It's a drama, you know, it has a lot of comedy in it. There's so much to be accomplished. We can't get sidetracked by that.
Are you telling me that Hyman wasn't all improv?
Because he
the funniest thing I've ever seen on TV. Yeah.
I personally think that he is the funniest character on the show.
Listen to me. 1,000%. Hyman could not be improv. That is like so perfectly written where it's like, it would be so incorrect.
There's
like,
probably a couple lines he improvs here and there for sure, because he's really talented. But like, the writers on our show were so good at knowing, seeing what the actors could do within the character and what they excelled at, and just like writing for that. Mm. And once they saw what he could do, they were like, oh, okay, let's write more like that.
Yeah. It was so nice that he came back.
He's one of my favorite people. He's the best.
He's just so offensive that like, if he started improvising shit, they'd be like, yo, bro. Like,
yeah, relax. Yeah, relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like the most polite, sweet guy in real life. So
that's usually how it works.
Oh. You know?
Yeah.
Couldn't be more, I mean, like just as funny in real life, but couldn't be more opposite as far as like subject matter.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Okay. I'm going to say besides Jason and Hale, if you could have had more scenes with somebody in the show, who would it have been?
Summer. Cause like
makes sense.
In season one, Alice and Margo had a couple scenes together and they were awesome. Like, I don't know, people probably don't remember season one scenes. I remember them so well because they're such fond memories, but there was a lot of energy between those two characters and we really thought that they were going to write more for them. And then they kind of just didn't, because, you know, there's so many storylines. So Summer and I always had wished that we got more scenes together because they're such opposites. Like energetically, Alice and Summer and Margo are such opposites that it's such an interesting dynamic. So yeah, Margo.
I agree. And I think Margo was really ramping up in season one. I don't think she was like fully realized as Margo yet in season one. And I wish that you did have more girl power scenes together, especially because you and Juliet did end up having a lot of really good scenes together, which I loved.
Yeah.
And I wish you had that with Summer too.
Yeah.
So a question for you. I know we talked about it.
No more questions.
No more questions. She says, yeah, man.
Okay, well, no more questions, you what Luke. To say that.
Luke's your biggest fan.
I know we mentioned it a little bit earlier about the fact that you said you did originally try out for Julia. And then we talked about what would have happened if you were in the role of Julia on the way out of season five. What would have been different? Or I guess you wouldn't know this, but I'm just asking for a guess here, because I know Stella was pregnant in real life, and I'm sure that the writers tried to work it into the story organically like they did and make Penny 23. That's where their whole storyline was going to end up. Was there any indication of where that could have gone if there wasn't the baby? That ends up actually being a really important plot point, because it starts giving Julia traveler powers and stuff like that. Or I'm sure that it was probably too far gone to really know what they would have done, but any guesses?
I mean, I don't want to speak for John and Sarah and the writers, but I'm pretty sure that they wrote that because Stella was pregnant. I mean, it makes sense that that's what they did.
Yeah.
You kind of have to write around that. I mean, she was very pregnant by the end of the season, so you couldn't really hide it. So I think they were very smart in the beginning to figure out how to work that in. And I think it worked so well. I love how Julia and Penny 23 end up. And yeah,
I think like,
she had to go over the holidays and then pandemic started. So no, I get pictures of her and
so
stuff like that.
But cute.
So cute. So much like both of them. She's so cute. Yeah, no.
So speaking of season five, the big gigantic cliffhanger is that half of you are on New Fillory and half are back home still at Breakville's, basically trying to find you guys. And I have big hopes that in season six you guys would have been reunited. But what are your big hopes for Alice and New Fillory, if you can make it up, knowing that you didn't have the script?
She in has New her Fillory. Bacon field.
And she has a what?
She has her bacon field.
Yeah. That's true. I know, I was so excited at the idea of New Fillory. All of us were, because like we could just start fresh, which is kind of the theme of every new season anyway in our show. Everything gets blown up and we gotta start fresh. But I would hope that she would, I always just want her to find a way to bring Quentin back. And cause I like him so sad we never got to see her on the Cozy Horse with Quentin. That was just always what I wanted. Yeah. I just wanted the end of the actual book series because it's so good. So I was kind of hoping, and there was talk about that happening. And if we got a season six, I just want that to happen. I mean, it would take so much. I mean, Jason would have to come back and all this stuff, but yeah. And bacon, I guess.
And bacon.
Wait, speaking of Jason coming back. So when we did cover the season five after it dropped on Netflix, you know, earlier this year, we had a couple of the people on the podcast go out of their way not to watch the show. And
just season five.
Just season five. Just season
which
five.
Is even worse. Yeah. Because so they knew their... it up till Quentin dying and then nothing else.
They did it for the pod. Oh
yeah.
Exactly. So we wanted to know what they were thinking in their heads when Alice starts going through the whole plot point. I think it's an episode as early as episode two.
Early.
As bringing Quentin back. And the episode, it might have been two, ends with him awakening. And we were asking them all over the place, like, is it Jason Ralph? Like, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah. Was there any talk of actually getting Jason to do a one-off episode for season five?
I mean, I think when I read that script, I was like, oh, is Jason coming back? But then they shut that down. They're like, no, he's not. It's, you know, that's not what where the story's going. But obviously the goal was to get the audience to think he was coming back, but no.
That actor who played young Quentin was in You, the show You.
Oh, yeah, he was great. I thought that was genius how
and
they
that
brought
was such
a
good storyline yeah. for, mm-hmm. yep.
Oh, yeah. I loved those two episodes with young Quentin and Alice. Those were some really great scenes. That kid was great.
It's literally the perfect way to give some kind of closure to us and Alice without having Jason Ralph come back.
I also just loved you and Julia being, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's out of control.
So that's good. My cousin from Canada.
Yeah. I had to buy him some tacos.
Yeah, that was good.
So good.
Well, that honestly kind of lends to a question that I was going to ask of. So I love your dad in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Quinn is one of my favorite characters. I'm just a sucker for like an affable and like zany father figure. I like the line, like, Quentin, you've barely touched your penis. Like, I love that line. But what is it like playing a daughter to people on the show? And especially like you and your mom on the show have such a contentious relationship.
Ooh, Stephanie.
Yeah.
How is it like building that type of relationship on screen? And then when it's cut, it's we're friends.
Well, it was interesting on this show because Judith, who plays my mom, plays April O'Neil in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I was born in the 80s and I freaking love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So when I met her, I was like freaking out because I was such a huge fan of hers. So the fact that she was playing my mom really was like really cool. And she's such a rad person. She's like the coolest, craziest, zaniest woman ever. She's a lot similar to her character, other than she's not like mean, like her mom, but she was so lovely to work with. And we were so playful with each other. Like even off screen, we would mess with each other just to kind of stay in character. And I don't know, those are some of my favorite scenes to shoot because her parents are so different than her that it's helpful. It's not, it makes it way easier to play the scenes. I think some of the scenes between Alice and her parents are some of the funniest things Alice is a part of. Yeah. Cause
I mean, she is different from her mom. She's different from her dad. And then her dad is different from her mom. It's just three just completely unique characters that are in the same family. Yeah.
I'm glad they explained, like went down you got to know a lot more about Alice's family. I loved all that stuff. Yeah.
And I will say that, I mean, Stephanie's easy to hate.
Yeah.
But the season five, the episode when her and Alice, or her and you rather, have that kind of talk and she says at the end, you know, just do something crazy.
So
that was a really good scene.
The Lamprey episode was so good.
Yes.
Hilarious. Oh my God. That was so much fun to shoot.
Just like saran wrapped up. And even in that scene, you get to play differently when the Lamprey's in you. All the different characters got to play a little like percentage off from themselves, trying to pretend they're not the Lamprey.
So many different Alice's.
My favorite thing is to find a way to like play the same character, not even just with Alice, but any of my work. I love finding a way to find different parts of the same character. It's a really interesting actor exercise, and they really let me stretch on this show when it came to Alice.
Now that it's all said and done, do you have a favorite version of Alice?
Yeah, Niffin Alice.
I was going to say it was Niffin. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Alice Alice 23 is a great one because that's kind of one of the ways they snuck you in. So they snuck you in when they made that spell with what's her name, the girl who was with Charlie. I forget her name off the top of my head. They did that spell where you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. Where you were in the shower. You were showering with Quentin.
Oh, so good. I loved that one.
That was one, Alice 23 in the and the other spell that I can't, I'm really off.
There's a lot of spells. So.
Tesla flexion.
She's a sad girl. Every time I saw Alice 83, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to cry.
You and Captain Hobbs. That's
Yeah. Alice did have some funny lines. They were just like, came out of nowhere and they were very dry.
Mm-hmm. What was it like interacting with Jason Routh being the Beast?
Ooh, that's what I was sexy. Just going to ask. Sorry, I love that. But hot. He is on the throne. Yeah. And Fillory. Oh.
It was fun. Jason and I, he's always been one of my favorite acting partners. We are really good friends and work really well together. And we work very similarly. We get really into it. I don't know. When he was the Beast, it was pretty fun to watch him work. He was having a really good time. And he had that prosthetic hand with the extra finger. And that was, he was having a good time with that. That was
funny.
I think
he slicked his hair back even more. Yeah. Like, he just looked great. Oh my gosh.
I think like all of us, when you're on a show for a long time, you do slightly get sick of playing the same character, which is maybe why I like playing different versions. So I think he was excited to not be puny Quentin for a minute and to be like, you know.
It's so funny how you sound like Alice when you talk about him.
I do?
What would call him a beauty? You called him like...
Okay, sorry. I was going to say, Alice has a much higher pitch voice than me, I think. But
did you change that? You changed the pitch of your voice?
Yeah. Alice is always much like pitched up than I am.
Mm,
yeah. I don't know how to do it unless I'm reading her lines. It's so weird. That's it. Like when I first read the script, I was like reading it out loud and I was reading it in a different voice. And I was like, oh, well, maybe that's how I'll play her. And then I did.
Now that you do say that, I can like picture you saying Quentin in the higher pitch voice and wow. Love to see it. Damn.
I think we're kind of getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
I don't want to hold too much of your time here, but if you guys have any final
questions. Oh, nice. I miss talking about the show.
I'm so happy how passionate you sound when you give responses. Like,
we miss it. It is my number one show of all time. And I wanted to say before how you were like, it's a comedy. It's not a comedy. But when I try to pitch it to somebody else, it's one of the hardest shows to try and pitch where it's like, it's totally sci-fi because it fits in our Binchtown does a lot of sci-fi shows. And we're like, it's super sci-fi. Like, we're not going to lie. It is. If you don't like sci-fi, but it's also really fucking funny, but also dark as hell. Like, it's so hard to explain.
And God, I think season three is like critically acclaimed as almost perfect. Yeah. Right. Ooh. So I think after it hits season three, it's like 100%, like 95%, 98%. It's just so good. And I can't rave enough about you. You would think that this whole show, the pool is the world building and the magic system, but it's absolutely the characters.
Character driven. Oh, yeah.
And that's why so many people were upset thinking that season five wasn't going to be the same without Jason Routh because he's quote unquote the main character, even though we had that episode with Penny explaining that this is an ensemble and it is. And we were like so happy that season five gave you guys all, everyone was so awesome and everybody got more time. And it was
also
so good.
Visually like a feat, like just gorgeous. Apocalypse Now episodes.
Season five was so much fun to shoot.
And of course, you know, we miss Jason Routh, but at the same time, it wasn't any lesser at all. I mean, and it gave us all.
I'll make sure to text him that too.
We'll clip that. You can send that straight to him.
I mean, we talked about it a lot when we covered season five of that. Just the fact that we got so much more Josh and Fenn was something that we had been begging for so long because I love Fenn's character and I love the idea of her like being from Fillory and then getting put into Earth.
Yes.
And then being like just like pleasantly surprised about, you know, mundane things. Like she loves Benihana.
Times Square and stuff.
Brittany is so similar to her character. It's she's like so such nice an innocent, sweet. Ugh, she's so funny. And I think Trevor's like the funniest person on the show, personally.
Oh yeah.
We love Josh
fans.
We love Josh.
Which is why we love that musical episode so much. That's kind of the turning point to being like, he's a main character for sure. Not that he wasn't before, but like, here it is laid out for you.
This is a behind the scenes podcast fight that constantly happens.
Oh, another.
And I just need to know, I'm not going to try and bias you one way or the other. So who do you prefer? Do you prefer the Penny 40 of the beginning or the Penny 23 that comes in and ends up with Julia? What character?
Luke is a pain in my ass.
Yeah, yeah, Luke is a major pain in the ass with this. I can't believe he's making you answer this.
I want to know who she likes better.
We didn't get Megana or Rick to answer this. We should have called the audience.
That's tough.
At least it's both Arjun, so there's no hurt feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just right, yeah. Honestly.
No, I know. They're just very different. Mm-hmm. I think I like original Penny.
No. Suck it. Suck it, Luke.
But I'm sentimental about the show. So yeah. I like everything from the beginning. Like,
also, Alice and Penny 40 had some relations.
That is true.
So.
Yeah. That's true. She's biased. Yeah. I don't accept your answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird thing.
Yeah. I will admit
it was a revenge bang, honestly. So
revenge bang.
Yeah, you know, she earned that. She earned that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's just like, he's too tough of a critic because he feels like Penny 40 turned his back on the squad, yeah, when he went to the
main characters. But I will say that if the show did continue and get another season, I know Penny 40's storyline with Hades, which never got really wrapped up, would have been way more important.
Amazing.
And that's why I'm so annoyed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just yeah.
It had the potential to be the end game of the series.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, why.
So you're annoyed at sci-fi executives.
A little bit.
Yeah, right.
it's not the actors. It's whoever canceled the show.
Yeah.
Hey, bring it back. Who you guys had on the show?
Oh, we've had three people. I like to say this because, okay, so we interviewed Rick Worthy. And then Megana Tova, who played Zelda. And then the third character, I'm curious to know if you remember him. I don't even think he's named in the show.
He has a name, technically, I think.
Do you know what it is?
No, I don't. Absolutely I don't. No.
So we interviewed Sachin Sahil, who is a big character in one of our other favorite shows ever, The 100.
Yeah.
And when we brought him on, he was in maybe the one scene of the first episode.
So he was in an episode in the Physical Kids Cottage, and then he was in the episode where they're kind of doing like the trials to get you guys like to weed out the losers. And he's the one who wouldn't cheat off of Alice when Penny kind of like astral projects and cheats off of you. He's the one who gets kicked out because he was like, he wouldn't cheat. It was him. Him, Penny, Quentin, and maybe a fourth in the
Todd,
gang.
Maybe. Yeah.
And he wouldn't. He
so
wouldn't
we
cheat,
technically
so
say him. Four magicians.
But we say four because we brought it up on his episode. We were like, you're on the magicians. What's
that's
up?
Our show. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Even though it was really quick. But.
So I don't know him well. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Rick and Megana are wonderful.
So fun. Oh, we talked about you and Zelda a lot on that because you guys had some emotional scenes in that last season.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
good.
We did a lot.
We love that.
I love that storyline. All I kept telling them was I wanted to get out of the library. Like, I didn't want to be filming in the library anymore. I found it a bit monotonous and a little boring. I wanted to get back out with my friends. So I'm glad that I ended up getting out of the library.
Well, you got the good Santa Claus scenes,
yeah.
But you did cockroach, and that was disgusting. And I'm still disgusted right now. But
I like bugs. He bit me a few times, though, the cockroach.
Oh, jeez.
Luke is scared. You just popped a number three on his. Luke is fucking
moving
freaked
down the
out
list.
By bugs.
Yeah. She likes Penny 40. She likes bugs.
What, okay.
We'll say in the apocalypse now, you writing to Santa Claus was so fucking satisfying for the save.
Mm-hmm.
We did not expect to see Santa Claus back, even though we just got a ho, 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 motherfuckers. And then in the next episode.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, it was in the
second to last.
Because I was going to say in the opening of the finale.
It's the musical episode.
Opening
yep.
finale is giving presents.
They go to the roof and get saved. Yeah.
Wow. Damn, I missed this TV show.
I know, me too. I'm like sitting here being like, oh, I like haven't done Alice's voice in so long. And I'm just like, how did I even do it? It seems so long ago. I miss this show so much. Oh, wow.
As soon as you got a script, it would come back, like riding a bike.
Yeah.
Actually, so did you guys actually get a send off at conventions, or did COVID ruin that for you guys? Because you had season 5 and it ended, and then
we wrapped November of 2019. We wrapped the show, and then a few months later we went into quarantine. So I've done some of the cons like just virtually.
Mm-hmm.
No, we never really got like a good send off at those, which is sad.
Yeah, that's definitely a shame because all the fans would definitely love to see you guys live for a send-off.
I saw you guys at New York Comic Con 2017.
Oh, that was fun.
Fucking dope. I wish I was on that boat with you guys.
Well,
that was really fun. Oh my god, that was so fun.
Okay, don't rub
that
it
was,
in.
Yeah, don't rub it in because that was funny because Kathleen brought that up to Rick and he was like, was I there? And she's like, no. He's like, damn it.
Yeah. That's the most Rick thing to say.
Yeah, he's yeah. like, damn, I went to the California Comic Con yeah. with a ticket because I wasn't invited.
Yeah, he wore a fake
he
name.
Stole
tag.
A ticket, yeah. No, I went by myself to New York Comic Con, sat in there by myself. I was just like, I sat in the same room for like 8 hours.
Really?
It was my first New York Comic Con, so I didn't want to... I didn't know if it was going to be like wrapped around the building for the magician's panel at 4 fucking p.m. I sat there. I saw like an anime panel. I saw like Ash vs. Evil Dead all day. I sat there for hours and eat a damn thing. And it was like people were in and out. There was like plenty of seats. I mean, it was packed for the magicians.
So yeah. Wrong. That was such a fun panel.
It was awesome.
We were so drunk.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
They were giving us shots on stage. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah, it was like in cool bottles, like magicians.
We didn't know that was going to happen and that yeah. they were going to be real.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't know that I knew they were real, but it oh. was a great panel. It was worth sitting there.
I mean, never mind. We were
we were stone sober. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about what you're doing now. So you have a new movie coming out, Some of Our Stallions. Do you want to pitch it?
Yeah, it's a really fun buddy comedy movie by this really wonderful director, writer, Carson Mell. He's one of the writers on Silicon Valley, and he's done a bunch of stuff. He's really talented, and he wrote this movie, and we shot it in 2019. And because of COVID, it's just now coming out. So that comes out July 2nd, and I'm really excited. It's going to be in theaters, limited release, and then on VOD. And it's like one of the movies I'm most proud of because I got to post the trailer because it's so bizarre and weird and funny and zany. And it's just like, there's nothing really like it out there right now. So I'm excited for people to see it. And it couldn't be any less like Alice, which is
nice. Oh. I can't wait to see your comedy chops.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really interested.
Actually, I'm the straight man in that movie too. Oh, no. Not funny.
Come on.
Well, we know you're funny here, so it's fine. Yeah, yeah man. Come on. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, we're lifelong fans now. That's kind of our thing. We love these characters, and then we follow the actor and actresses forever. So
you guys are so sweet. This is fun. I love this. I'll come back anytime.
Wow.
Oh, thank you so much.
We might hold you to that.
Same time.
Oh, two people.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Who can we get?
Yeah. Text Jason and
Yeah. He's impossible. You couldn't get, he's really hard to get to do things.
We love every single person on this show.
Sorry, my alarm keeps going off to do your podcast.
It's like I set a timer and I'm done now.
Yeah.
No, because we got the time messed up. So I'm like somewhere in some sort of different vortex, like in a different
Don't forget to do Binge Down TV. We'll see you in an hour.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for spending this time with us. That was beyond what I could have expected. Yeah. You are like the main character
of our favorite show in the whole world.
This is just so surreal. Won't hit me for a little bit, but seriously, thank you so much.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, and I'm so thrilled anytime I can talk about the show because it's hands down one of the best things in my life. So thank you.
We love that.
Yeah, we don't care how long it's been off the air. We'll talk to you guys all the time. And we're going to keep covering random rewatch episodes just because we love it so much. So.
I love that. Awesome.
Whatever new shows you're on, we'll cover that too.
Of course.
Okay, cool. Definitely. I'll let you know.
I think Rick did mention when we asked him who he asked us who we got to first and talked to in the cast because he mentioned you by name saying that Olivia usually gets everybody first. So maybe if the schedules link up, we could have both you guys on together. That'd be really
that fun. Would be really fun.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll drink some whiskey with Dean Fogg and Alice.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you so much. We can't wait to see some of our stallions.
Yeah.
All right. Well, take care and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Sounds good.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
So that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you again so much to Olivia for being the coolest and answering all of our dumb and nerdy questions. You know we can't get enough of the Magician's content over here at Bingetown TV. But as always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram and subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Also, if you haven't heard our other conversations with the Magician's actors, Rick Worthy, who plays Dean Fogg, or Magena Tova, who plays Zelda, definitely check out those awesome conversations. Once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.